Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Southampton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. The next 30 minutes is the Saints takeover, and we are joined by the legend that is Ben Stanfield from the Total Saints podcast. Ben, last week we finally got a positive show. Brilliant results for Saints, back-to-back wins at home. They went to Newcastle with that confidence, with that momentum, and they was undone by a last-minute goal. One step forward, two steps back, or am I being a little bit harsh?
Welcome to the world of being a Southampton fan, Charlie. it was typical Saints, unfortunately, wasn't it? They played brilliantly for 60 minutes or so up at Newcastle. As ever, didn't take their chances. I mean, they had some pretty gilt-edged chances. You think of Redmond being clean through the first half, Bertrand blazing over a header from about 2 yards out. And in true Saints style, they then miss a header at the back, and the keeper fumbles one out to the centre-back in the last couple of minutes. So, it was, at the very least, Charlie, they should have picked up a point. But as I say, typical Saints. And unfortunately, the pressure's back on again now, isn't it?
Yeah, really disappointing, because obviously they worked themselves out of that relegation zone. Now they find themselves back in it. And obviously this will happen now with the way the results are going forward. You know, it's going to be a little while before they get that breathing space above it. But the disappointing thing was they've lost on a day that maybe, as Ralph said, it was their best away performance of the season. Playing really well. And in that first half, they just weren't taking the chances that they created.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, I think he was quick to say, Charlie, as well after the game, that it was their best 60 or 70 minutes away from home this season. But, you know, we all know, and it's an old cliche, a game lasts for 90 minutes, so you can be brilliant for 60 minutes, but if you don't take your chances, as we just discussed, then there's a high chance in the Premier League that an opposition will have 2, 3, 4 chances and bang a couple in. So it's fine playing well, but games last for 90 minutes. And, you know, how many times this season have we seen Saints let late goals in the last sort of 5, 10 minutes of the game where, for whatever reason, they're not concentrating, or they're tired, or they're out of shape at the back. So, yeah, I mean, again, they played well for 60, 70 minutes, but they've got to keep it going for 90 minutes if they want to be starting to pick up some points in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. It just felt like, you mentioned it there, it wasn't to be for them with Bertrand's header. You know, it felt like it was more of a clearance than a shot on goal. I just was willing you on, but did you sort of get towards that second half? You know, it just feels like this may be one of them days, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think when the equaliser went in, you know, you still would have fancied Saints to pick up a point. We spoke about it last week that their record up there was pretty poor. And, you know, Steve mentioned on your show as well that he wasn't overly confident that they'd probably lose by the odd goal and give away a soft goal, Charlie. So he likewise was a bit of a soothsayer on what was going to come along there. But I think, you know, a draw would have been a good result for Saints, I think, after the week they've had. But letting in that sucker punch at the end, you know, you don't know how they're going to react against West Ham now. But I think to come away from there with nothing, at least at Arsenal, whilst they let the late goal in, they still came away with something, I think was a real kick in the teeth. And it'll be interesting to see how they react now.
Yeah, and Danny Ings, obviously, again, getting on the score sheet. I think that's 5 consecutive Premier League games now. And I think he's only the first person to do that after James Beattie and Matt Lagarde, obviously, is the legend at Saints. But he's just, you know, the form at the minute, Danny Ings, this is what we wanted. And 1 and 2 games, brilliant. But again, he's clearly thriving on that confidence. And it's really weird, Ben. You know, Saints' last 13 Premier League goals have been scored by Englishmen.
Yeah, I know. It's good. I mean, I think, you know, over the last few years or so, we've been a team heavily sort of dependent on some foreign players. And again, you know, it's been great to see some of the talents that we've had during that time. But, you know, I know Sean Dyche and Burnley are well-renowned for having quite a core of British players. And I think it just shows, you know, actually, when you look at the Saints team at the moment, there is a decent sort of core of, you know, half the team or so being British. And look, I think we said a couple of weeks ago, Charlie, didn't we? We don't really care who scores the goals for Saints as long as someone does. But if it's good for, you know, to see British players doing it, and it gives Gareth Southgate something to think about as well with the likes of Ward-Prowse and Ings, then hopefully that means that those individuals are doing something right.
Yeah, do you think that there is a chance then that maybe Ward-Prowse and Ings could force their way into that Euro 2020 squad?
Yeah, I mean, there's a long way of the season to go, isn't there? I think, you know, we have to be realistic that they've only scored sort of, you know, particularly Ward-Prowse 3 or 4 goals. But, you know, all they can do, I guess, is keep knocking on the door. And I think Saints, you know, over the years haven't been treated particularly well by, you know, the national selection. I think they've often picked bigger players. I'm sure some of the lesser clubs around the country that come on Love Sport Radio, the fans of those clubs would agree as well. But I think, you know, if they can keep up this sort of form, then there's no reason. I think their squad's in February, isn't it? So, you know, there's no reason why I think Danny Ings and James Ward-Prowse will certainly raise some attention at Southgate, I think. Yep.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, one player who may be getting a recall to that England squad, it is a Saints player, Fraser Forstar, obviously absolutely dominant for Celtic on the weekend. Ralph said they won't be recalling him. What have you made of it, though? Because Saints have had their goalkeeping troubles. We've spoken about him on the show. Fraser's in brilliant form, but it's always weird. He goes to Celtic, he's brilliant, but he was third choice at Saints and it didn't quite work out.
Yeah, I think the problem that Saints had is they obviously, a couple of seasons ago, Alex McCarthy won player of the season. They then gave him a brand new contract in the summer, having given Forster one the previous summer. They then signed Angus Gunn, of course, his young keeper, but, you know, would have joined, it would have obviously been an attractive offer to take him away from Manchester City, Charlie. So they essentially ended up with three goalkeepers all on sort of senior wages. Now, you know, any club can't necessarily afford to carry three unless you're one of the big boys. I think it was quite evident that at that time they wanted Angus Gunn to be the number one, so he had a lot of support to keep his place. And I think the reality is that there was interest in Fraser Forster. There wasn't any interest in Alex McCarthy. So I think the club felt from a sort of financial point of view, it made sense for him to go away to regain some confidence. And I think all Saints fans would agree, you know, he's been through a lot at Saints. I think particularly had a few sort of mental problems, I think, the last couple of years, you know, has been low on confidence, and I think some troubles away from the game as well. So it's great to see him do well. And you know, I think hand on heart, all of us would say his performance for the weekend was wonderful, and to see him lift the cup for Celtic, you know, hopefully in the long term, that will mean good news for Saints, because they're either going to get a keeper back that's, you know, full of confidence that wants to regain his place, or his value is going to be going up.
Yeah, absolutely. Either way, it could work for Saints. But then with that January transfer window just round the corner, you know, I want to save it because we're always thirsty for transfer gossip. But will we be seeing some Saints additions? We're already hearing in the last few days links with players from Barcelona.
I know. I think, you know, again,
not Messi and Suarez, Premier... unfortunately, Ben.
Yeah, that's a shame. But yeah, I think that's the part of being in the Premier League, isn't it? I think, especially the social media generation that we now live in, Charlie, I think you see lots of bits and pieces around, and some of it will be just rumours that started. Other will be agents trying to sort of sell their players and things like that as well, won't they? So I think it's a bit early. You know, it's, you know, I know it's only 2-3 weeks away, but there's quite a lot of games between now and then to sort of start discussing particular players. But I think Saints, you know, hopefully will be active. I think certainly defensively they need to be looking at acquisitions, but I think lots of clubs, particularly Saints, will be linked with quite a few players between now and the end of January.
Yeah, one of the things we speak about, Ben, and one of the things always labelled about Southampton, you know, is kind of messy behind the scenes, and, you know, obviously the four changes of managers, you know, the front office, the team upstairs, and, you know, they've needed to trim that wage bill, you know, get rid of the deadwood and trim that fat. And these aren't Ralph's players, and a lot of the players were on too high wages. We couldn't get rid of them and we couldn't bring players in. And, you know, these weren't Ralph's players, that we could say. Well, one of the players that was Ralph's was Shea Adams. It's not quite worked out for him. Now he finds himself falling out of favour. What do you make of it, and what's happening there now?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he started, I think, you know, the first sort of maybe 10 games or something like that, and Saints actually picked up you know, all of their points when he'd been starting games and pressing. I think the problem is, you know, the formation that Ralph's been playing generally is one up front, and when you've got, as you mentioned earlier, Charlie, someone like Danny Ings who's banging the goals in, it's going to be hard for anyone to get back in the team. I think the challenge for me, you know, the frustration maybe is that we let a goal in at Newcastle 87th minute last week. He then brings Che Adams on the 88th minute. You know, why not bring him in 5-10 minutes before and go and try and win the game, something like that? It's been a bit reactionary with Che Adams coming on as a sub, so I'm not really sure what good that's doing him. But I think, you know, we'd go back to other points that we've discussed as well previously, which is there's going to be a lot of games over Christmas. I think they're going to have to manage Danny Ings very carefully to make sure that he doesn't sort of break down or something like that. You've got to think, well, Shane Long's been in the team recently, that Che Adams is going to get his chance, and it's going to be down to him, Charlie, isn't it? You know, he's got to show the attitude to come in there, bang a couple of goals in and say, do you know what, you've got to try and get me out of the team now. So it's been an interesting one. I think a lot of us are confused as to what he's done wrong, but you can understand why he's maybe not got back in the team when Danny Ings has been banging the goals in.
Yeah, obviously Danny Ings in brilliant form, but it is such an interesting one because everyone was raving about the signing. Saints were pleased they got their man, highly touted from the Championship, and no one's saying that he can't make that grade or that next step up. It just hasn't quite worked out at the minute, and we wanted Ralph's signings and to say, look, these are your players, Ralph. These are the ones you wanted. They just maybe haven't hit the ground running, but like you said, a big, busy Christmas stretch. You know, the fixtures come thick and fast. Maybe in that rotation, he can light it up, and then, you know, Saints, what a positive duo they could have. Ings and Adams, if they can work together, would be a treat. Well, Ben, it is West Ham on the weekend, and it feels like 2 weeks ago on the show when we were looking at the Norwich game, the Watford game, both at home. Now we come to another, really a six-pointer game. West Ham really struggling down there, one place above the relegation zone. You in that relegation zone. It is at home. Once again, it's on TV, under the lights, a night game. How are you feeling? Because hopefully that home form, that vibe at St Mary's has changed a little bit with those 6 points.
Yeah, I think we have to be realistic, and you're right, Charlie. I think, you know, people will turn up to St Mary's a lot more confident than they might have done a month ago because we've managed to win a couple of games. I guess the sort of frustration is we didn't play particularly well in those games. I mean, Watford, we played well for the last 20 minutes. Norwich, we played well first half, and then they came back at us second half. You know, West Ham, for whatever reason, have obviously struggled this season, but I think, you know, they've spent a lot of money in the summer. Their squad is very, very talented. So, and generally, they've had the better of us over the last sort of 2 or 3 years as well. So, I'm fearful that Saints, a bit like the Everton game, you know, we're going to turn up thinking this is a game that we need to win, and actually the talent in that opposition against a bit lackluster from Saints might prove disappointing for us. But, you know, it is a six-pointer, and I think Saints, you know, we've said a few times the last few weeks, make or break. Again, it feels like that again, you know, having lost to Newcastle, if they can win this game, they're starting to look up the table again. If they're losing it, then they're going to be sort of struggling almost to get out of the relegation zone over Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously dependent on other results, but they get that 3 points. It keeps West Ham down there, and they go to 18th, which currently is where Burnley are in 13th. That's how close this Premier League is this year. I think the tiers are actually been, they're closer together. The gaps have been closed. But Ben, what is your score prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to be relatively optimistic, Charlie, and say that it'll be there's not many draws at St Mary's these days, but I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. So I think hopefully Saints can get something out of the game. I think it's crucial they do get something out of the game. So let's sit on the fence and go for a 1-1.
Sit on the fence for a 1-1. Ben, I was really hoping you was going to pick a win, but you're too honest, you're too sensible for that. But is a point good enough, just very quickly?
What I'd say is I don't necessarily think it's must win because we're still early enough in the season, Charlie, but what I would say is I don't think it's must lose. So I think if you can pick up a point and then we've got Villa away, I think a bit like the other couple of weeks ago, if we can pick up 2 minimum, maybe 4 points from these two games against West Ham and Villa, then I think that would be a good return heading into Christmas. So I'd take a draw if you offered it to me now. Of course, I hope they win.
Ben, you're far too knowledgeable, far too sensible for me. Ben, always a joy having you on the Saints Fan Show tonight. That was Ben Stanfield there from the Total Saints podcast. Well, this is the Southampton Fan Show, and always two for the price of one. We've got another very special guest next.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Southampton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we are having so far. And there is still time to have your say tonight. Call us 0208 7020 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For all your Saints views, it is the Saints takeover. And now I'm joined by a man who always knows how to take it over. It is Tom Parker from the Saints FC podcast. Tom, brilliant to have you back on the show. Always a pleasure to get your insight. I spoke to you a couple weeks back and we mentioned Saints need something to spark the side, galvanise the side. Well, they got those back-to-back wins at St Mary's, and then it was a disappointing, almost a last-minute goal, losing to Newcastle. What have you made of the whole last 3 or 4 games, even the point against Arsenal?
Well, what a difference a few weeks back. I was at the Arsenal game. Saints played brilliantly, took the game to Arsenal, real passion, real commitment. Yeah, and things feel a lot different. It looks like Ralph has settled on a formation he likes. He's gone to his 4-2-2-2, which is always his big dream, his aspiration to play. Players have started to press more, a lot more energy. And in Danny Ings, we've got someone who, you know, whilst we don't create many chances, I'd say, Danny Ings is putting them away regularly. So things feel a lot better. There's a lot more positivity. And I think it shows, you know, Newcastle are no mugs. They're very good at home. And it shows that, you know, how far we've come, that we were disappointed to lose there when really, you know, we could have gone away with all 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel like the Saints have found something now, Tom. You know, obviously those brilliant back-to-back wins, you know, 4 points would have been good, but 6 points just felt massive at the time. Beating Watford, keeping them down there. Norwich, who had that resurgence, beating, obviously, Everton and getting a few results. Get that 6 points. So unlucky not to get a point, obviously, up at Newcastle. But Saints, you know, you say a good Newcastle side and at St James's, but Saints will rue the chances they missed early on, won't they, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look, we've got, you know, Nathan Redmond, who was absolutely our player of the season last year, missed a couple of good chances in the first half, particularly that one-on-one. And I think what it showed is, you know, everyone knows the Premier League. You miss those chances, you get punished. I think early in the second half, hypothetical, if we'd have gone up 2-0 after Danny Ings had scored, that game's over. But you can't rest in the Premier League, and particularly against a team like Newcastle, who are so economical with their chances. And we really struggled with Andy Carroll when he came on. And yeah, fair play to them. They took the 3 points and everything. They deserved it, but they took them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that analogy of Newcastle, Tom. They're economical with the chances that they take. It's so true. But when you talk about Redmond, you know, I put it out there first. I'm a big, big fan of Redmond. Really love watching him play. But is there just, and this is definitely not to be harsh to him, but is there a little bit of inconsistency there? You know, I feel like there's so much more untapped potential with him. He has so much more in the reserves. We feel like, you know, even the Saints fans, just waiting for him to ignite and go to that next level. You know, we're not sure if we've had the ceiling of him yet. And I remember even a few seasons back when Pep and Redmond had that thing on the pitch, and Pep was saying, no, this is because I'm a fan of him and I know how much he can do and what he has to offer, and we just need to see him more, almost take the team on his back.
Yeah, I think he's a fascinating character. He strikes me as quite a deep, sensitive individual. I think he's been compared to Henri in the past. Claude Puel thought he could be at that caliber, but he's got all the skills. He can beat people all day long. He's fast, he's committed, he's got absolutely unbelievable ball control. It's just his finishing. If he could finish, you know, he would be a Champions League player, make no bones about it. But with him, like a lot of forwards, it's all about confidence. And I think, you know, when you saw him take that first chance against Dubravka at the weekend, he took it early. He didn't quite have the commitment to either get it over or around the goalkeeper. That is where you see his head goes down a bit. But Ralph obviously loves him. He plays week in, week out. They're probably one of the first names on the team sheet. And I think, you know, fair play to Nathan Redmond, because every single week, even if he doesn't score, he gives it 100%. And, you know, in a combination of other players that have picked up their form, Ward-Prowse and obviously Danny Ings, yeah, it's looking pretty good for Saints at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that separates them, you know, you need to score goals in this league. You mentioned Danny Ings, 5 in 5. He's dominating the show tonight. He's a big part of this Saints side. But you look at teams like Watford and West Ham. West Ham can't score goals. Watford, the lowest scorers in the league. Saints are scoring at the minute, and it is all coming from that man Ings. No one really expected the resurgence that he's having, but it's been absolutely brilliant to see.
Yeah, I think he seems like a genuinely nice bloke. He's passionate about the club. He's always the first to come over to the fans. Mm. Everyone seems to like Danny Ings. No one's got a bad word to say about him. The question was, could he stay fit? Could he get a run of games? And he absolutely has done that. I think, you know, whilst we're not scoring loads of goals, to stay in the Premier League, you do need someone who's going to hit the back of the net regularly. Danny Ings is definitely doing that. My biggest worry is that, you know, he continues to do so well that he ends up getting picked in the England squad, because I think the last thing we need is for Danny Ings to get injured or to not be fit. Probably we need those sort of short international breaks to keep Danny Ings on top form, because ultimately, you know, if you're a Saints fan, you care about him doing a job for Southampton more than you do about getting on the bench and maybe getting the odd 20 minutes here and there for England.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that, Tom. Obviously, we had Ben on the show earlier this evening, and he mentioned about, you know, James Ward-Prowse, Danny Ings, maybe getting a chance, getting that recognition before the Euro 2020s and playing a part. You know, Southgate's mentioned them before, and obviously you would love more than that, you know, for them to represent their country and play on international duty, but you have to prioritise your club and getting injuries and, you know, keeping them just fresh for your league games. Is that kind of where you sit? Because it's a tricky balance, isn't it?
Yeah, Southampton fans have got a long and mixed history with England, I think it's fair to say. Like, after the treatment of Matt Letizia, I don't think many England fans have ever really got it. Only Southampton fans have really ever got over that. But then also we saw Ricky Lambert come on and score a goal with his first touch, which any Saints fan would tell you is one of the highlights of the last few years supporting the club. So look, I think with Ward-Prowse, he is a very, very talented, very fit, athletic player. Consistently covers, I think, the most ground of any Southampton player in every single game. So I don't think he's the worry. We are, you know, lacking goal scorers. There's no doubt about that. It is very much on the back of Danny Ings and, to a lesser extent, Ward-Prowse to score the goals to keep us in the Premier League. And anything that could possibly get in the way of Danny Ings maintaining his fitness is to be avoided. So we'd love to see him get the recognition, but maybe if we can just, you know, keep him with their top form for Saints. Saints pay their wages. The Saints fans pay their wages. And we need to see him turning out week in, week out for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you're so right. It needs to be avoided, because you can have burnout. You know, you overuse him. You come back too soon from an injury, and then you fear the worst. Danny Ings, you know, if they are injury prone, they get another injury. That's the last thing we want. Well, it is West Ham on the weekend. Where will this game for you? It's another key clash. Where will it be won and lost?
I think a lot of it's going to be if Saints can keep hold of Haller, the big centre forward. We struggle against big men at the back with our centre backs and Jack Stevens and Bednarek. we struggle with people lumping the ball up in the air. You know, Andy Carroll, when he came on the pitch on Saturday, completely changed that game. We were looking very comfortable. All of a sudden, Andy Carroll comes on looking like some sort of Viking. Saints couldn't handle it. So if we can keep Haller quiet, that will go a long way. But yeah, West Ham are a bit of a bogey team for us. But then they've lost 7 and 8. They're talking now about Pellegrini going if they lose on Saturday. They've just come back from a pretty horrible reverse against Arsenal. We've won 2 games at home on the bounce. So everything tells you that Saints should win. So I think you can probably expect West Ham to walk away with 3 points.
I knew you was going to say that, Tom. Always typical, isn't it? When the stats and everything goes in your favour, you fancy the reverse result. Well, let me tell you, this is the Southampton fan show. We do the West Ham fan show, and they were all saying it's going to be a Saints win. They just can't see nothing at the minute. And, you know, Pellegrini on that hot seat, it's completely different over at Southampton St. Mary's. They're behind their man. And even Ralph has come out this week saying he thanks the board and the fans for seeing him through this sticky patch. And now they're confident that you have seen a revival in the team.
Yeah, absolutely. But Ralph is absolutely the right man for the job. There's no doubt about that. I think we, you know, I've a bit of cynicism aside, I do think we'll beat West Ham on Saturday. And I think if we do, I think that'll be the end, sadly, of Pellegrini. It'll be the third manager we've seen off this season. But I think, you know, for us, we need to win at home. It was a bit of a hoodoo for us. You know, if you look at the 2 games we won at home recently, we've done things we've not done. We've not done previously. So against Watford, we come from behind to win. Against Norwich, we went in front. Yeah, we do that all the time. But could we maintain and hold out in the defence in the second half? Yeah, we could. So those are 2 things we've really struggled to do. So if we think we put those to bed, you know, if we can put West Ham to the sword and we can put them to the sword early on, Saints have a fantastic evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, just before we get your score prediction, Tom, there was a little bit made in the media this week about clips of an annoyed dressing room, as it should be, from Saints. Have you heard about this? What have you made of this?
I've not seen it. I'll have to dig it out. Apologies. I mean, what game was that after?
After the Newcastle game, apparently it was like, you know, and the Newcastle staff and the media that was leaked saying, you know, Saints, they could hear it. Very annoyed dressing room clips of the players, you know, and the manager being really disappointed. A little bit of a storm in a teacup because any players and staff should be annoyed after a result like that.
Be.
But it just shows the players are fired up for the next one, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Look, I've got no doubt the players care a lot. It was clear against Arsenal that the celebration in front of the Saints fans when Ward-Prowse scored that penalty, those players care a huge amount. You want the players to be annoyed. That's a 600-mile round journey for Saints fans.
Yeah.
You know, to go to. They, you know, on a Sunday, right? You want the players to be frustrated. And also, it shows that they felt they can take something from the game. But what's most important now is, you know, they take that energy, they take that frustration, and they take that feeling, and they hit West Ham with it hard on Saturday. We don't do what we did against Everton, which is we're meek and we're mild. We hit West Ham 100 miles an hour, you know, and go 2-3 goals up into the break. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to hit them hard when, you know, you're down there. You need all the points, but you have to get the points when you're playing a team that has lost 7 out of 8. So, Tom, what is your score prediction? And please, please, please give us a better one, because Ben only said it was going to be a draw and it just left me a little bit down in the dumps.
No, I'm going to go 2-0 Saints. Finally, a home clean sheet and 3 wins on the bounce.
Oh, 2 goals, 3 points and a clean sheet. The ultimate professional performance. Just like you good man yourself, Tom. Really appreciate you coming on. Tom Parker there from the Saints FC podcast. Really giving it to us just before the West Ham game. Crucial Saturday game, 5:30. Saying 2-0. We're hoping for a good one. Either way, we'll be back next week on the Southampton Fan Show to tell you just exactly how it went down.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.